The following is an AI reading of my blog called
Encrypted Messengers Comparison.
It is for people who don't have time to read blogs and can listen to podcasts though. So, let's go!
Updated 20th of August 2024. In part 1, we explained why encrypted messengers are important. Now, we'll examine specific messengers and compare them. Signal, we begin with likely the most well-known and widely used secure messenger, Signal. It has been in development since 2010, but the first version of what we know as Signal was introduced in 2015. As of January 2022, it had over 40 million users. Each Signal user is currently identified by a phone number. This allows for easy contact discovery if you want to write to someone and have their number in your contact list. There's no need to do anything else, simply write them a message. This greatly benefits the Signal network effect. On the other hand, if anonymity is desired, an anonymous phone number must be obtained. This can be done through various online services or by purchasing an anonymous SIM card. As of April 2022, this can still be accomplished in the Czech Republic. You can use Signal on your mobile device as well as on your computer, and you can synchronize the two devices so that you can begin a conversation on your mobile device and finish it using the Signal desktop app on your computer. The primary device is always the smartphone, which has an associated phone number. You pair Signal desktop with your smartphone by scanning a QR code, and this pairing is also encrypted and secure. In addition to text messages, you can also send voice messages and make phone calls, including video calls. Signal allows you to create groups where you have the option to either allow only admins or everyone in the group to post messages. Groups can be open, meaning that any member can add another member or use a link to join the group, or closed, requiring an admin's approval for each new member. You can also participate in group video calls with up to 40 participants, and send voice messages within the group. What makes groups particularly interesting and unique to Signal is that the Signal servers do not have access to information about group membership, group names, or the content of the group. Communications. Signal operators cannot answer basic questions such as, is this user a member of this group, or what groups is this user in? You can delete messages a few minutes after sending them if you make a mistake. But once someone has seen the message before you delete it, there's nothing more you can do. An interesting feature missing in Threema, for instance, is the ability to set up so-called disappearing messages. This setting can be applied to conversations or groups and modified at any point. Disappearing messages ensure that everyone receiving a specific message deletes it from their device after a predetermined time period, like an hour, day, week, and so on. Although an attacker may save the messages, this option is particularly helpful since if you're texting about something, anyone who gets to your phone in a few months won't be reading long, outdated. Old messages, of course, you can manually delete conversations in Threema too, but the automatic deletion in Signal relieves people from having to do it manually. It's like with backups, unless they are automatic, you forget to do it. Signal also has payments using the mobile coin cryptocurrency in beta. It has similar characteristics to Monero in terms of privacy. The advantage is that, as with Signal communication, you don't have to exchange addresses with anyone. If you want to send someone a cryptocurrency from your wallet, you send it the same way you would if you were sending a picture or document in a Signal conversation to a phone number. Signal will make sure to find out the address where the cryptocurrency needs to be sent. However, despite the network effect and the number of Signal users, this cryptocurrency has not won the hearts of investors and users. The popularity of mobile coin has decreased since its initial integration with Signal, leading to a drop in market capitalization. Currently ranked 227th among cryptocurrencies as of April 2022, the coin's future seems uncertain. One major issue is the difficulty for users to acquire their first mobile coins. To do so, they must use centralized exchanges requiring an account and payment in Bitcoin, which can be a barrier for Signal's target audience who may not be familiar with cryptocurrency. It remains to be seen whether Signal can turn this situation around and make accessing this cryptocurrency easier for its users. Integration into simple decentralized exchanges could potentially help address these challenges. I believe that privacy-preserving payments have a role in crypto communication tools. However, I'm not sure if MobileCoin and Signal will be successful in this area, most likely not, as I would wager on slow death. Now, let's discuss some positive aspects of Signal. Their applications are open source, including a well-described open protocol. This means we can understand the encryption techniques and algorithms they employ. Additionally, with deterministic builds, we can confirm that the app in the Play Store is compiled from source without adding extra code. Of course, end-to-end encryption is provided, along with the ability to verify that the server isn't cheating with the keys key verification using a QR code during an in-person meeting. The application has also been audited by third parties and logs minimal metadata, such as the last account login time. One potential downside for privacy, but an advantage for Signal's popularity, is the requirement to use a phone number to register. Signal servers are located in the cloud, which is acceptable since they only forward messages without accessing their content. However, you cannot connect Signal clients to your own server, making the service centralized in this aspect. If the infrastructure experiences a breakdown, communication via Signal will not function. To safeguard against SIM swap attacks, set a PIN or password. Should someone gain access to your phone number and attempt to activate Signal on it, they will be unable to proceed without a PIN. In case an attacker manages to do so, they won't have access to previous messages, and all your contacts will notice that the encryption keys have been altered. If this occurs, it is advisable to verify what transpired through personal interaction or video call. Signal employs numerous techniques in an attempt to bypass censorship and service blocking. However, I can't evaluate how successful they are because, fortunately, I live in countries where censorship of encrypted communications does not happen yet. Signal's operator, the Signal Foundation, lives on voluntary contributions. Anyone who contributes gets a badge for their profile photo, so you can signal support for your favorite messenger. Element/Matrix. Element is a messenger that uses the Matrix protocol. However, you can choose to use other apps to use the Matrix communication network and communicate in a way that suits you. Matrix is similar to email in many ways. As with email, you can use different client apps in the case of email. These include Outlook, Gmail Web Client, Thunderbird, Postbox, Mutt, or the native mail app from macOS and iOS, ProtonMail, etc. And also different server infrastructure providers, ProtonMail, Gmail, Cesnom, etc. With Matrix protocol, it is similar. You choose a client like Element, which you can access through a browser or as a desktop or mobile app. Select a server where you have an account, and it holds encrypted messages for you until you connect. Similar to email, communication with other users on different servers is also possible. This allows you not to depend on one operator. The system can operate in island mode, meaning if your internet connection goes down but you have a local server, you can still function within your local community that can reach your server. In the conflict in Ukraine, for example, local operators in individual cities run Matrix servers. If everything works, they can communicate between cities and with the whole internet. Even in groups, members from different servers can participate. But if one city's connection goes down, at least communication among users of that city's server is maintained. Element is a decentralized network, meaning it doesn't rely on a single operator for its functioning. Similar to email, there's no way to shut down the entire Matrix network. When it comes to warrants, things can get complex. You have the option to use different jurisdictions based on your beliefs or connect to a server using the Tor anonymization network, which allows you to bypass physical locations completely. Compared to Signal, one feature I particularly appreciate in Element is the ability to create spaces, similar to Slack teams or Discord servers. Spaces are essentially a list of people and rooms, or groups. If you've tried joining multiple groups within an organization on Signal, you may have realized that you need to join each group separately. In Element, however, all you need to do is add a space, and you'll be able to view all the rooms instantly. A few extra details that set Matrix apart from Signal include support for voting through polls, support for threads, and the option to decide whether new room users have access to previous messages, or only see those sent after they joined. Another advantage is anonymous registration, which means finding a specific person's identifier can be a challenge. These identifiers appear as at username matrix.org, where matrix.org represents the server on which the user is registered. Unlike Signal, starting a conversation through Element requires some effort. You need to know your contacts' identifiers or invite them using a special link. While adding an email address and phone number can simplify the search process, very few people take advantage of this feature. A significant benefit of Matrix is its ability to create bridges that connect it with other messaging platforms. You have to run these yourself, or you can buy them from a company that operates them, but you can get Slack, WhatsApp, Discord, Telegram, Microsoft Teams, or even Signal users into Element. Beware, if you don't run the bridge yourself, the operator can see the decrypted messages. For example, if you want to use one messenger for everything or connect to other bots, systems, and so on, there's a diverse ecosystem for that in Element. What is the security? The encryption is quite good, but the important thing is how to verify that the server is not lying to us and showing us a different key. Similar to Signal or Threema, for example, we can authenticate the user by scanning a QR code when we are present in person. But it's also possible to authenticate using an emoji. Both parties receive several emoji images during authentication, and their job is to verify in a secure way that they are the same. They can do this in person, or for instance, via another encrypted and signed method of communication. Alternatively, at worst, through an encrypted video call. Of course, if you use the same and trusted server like your own, for example, you don't have to carry out the verification process. Similar to Telegram, it is possible to create bots that can provide information about the price of Bitcoin, schedule a meeting, connect you with another communication service, check for new tickets on GitHub, or perform numerous other tasks. If you want to make adjustments to your Matrix installation, you can then utilize Element as a Matrix client for almost all your communication needs, regardless of the channel through which your users are reaching out to you. My main criticism of Element and Matrix is regarding their occasional instability. Sometimes, keys do not synchronize properly, resulting in messages not arriving or certain elements taking longer to load. I believe this issue arises from a distributed architecture. In terms of privacy, there is a downside as the servers can observe who communicates with whom, but not about what topic, and identify group members. This issue can be partially resolved by managing your own Matrix server and engaging solely with users within that server, such as in corporate communications. However, metadata continues to circulate throughout the network more frequently than desired. Delta Chat. Delta Chat operates similarly to email architecture, directly utilizing email services. By connecting it to your preferred email provider via IMAP, you have the ability to establish groups. In the background, Delta Chat employs the AutoPGP protocol for automatic encryption of messages. Since server-based messages are also accessible through IMAP on multiple devices, synchronization is effectively managed. If you're unable to view your own messages on other devices, enable the Send to Self option. Group conversations are simply emails with multiple users included, and Delta Chat neatly organizes them into groups with a name and an icon. This app is quite straightforward for communication, as it relies on existing email infrastructure, making it accessible to anyone who feels comfortable using email. However, be aware that encryption using PGP and AutoPGP can feel somewhat outdated. For instance, server operators can monitor whom you're emailing and how frequently, and if a key gets leaked, all past messages could potentially be decrypted, meaning there's no perfect forward secrecy. Despite these limitations, Delta Chat remains an appealing minimalist option for communication, lacking support for more advanced features like voice calls or video calls. Threema is another encrypted messaging app worth considering. Unlike other apps in this review, Threema charges a one-time fee for regular use, which currently stands at roughly €4 or $4. Threema has reached 10 million users and offers additional services like Threema Gateway or Threema Work for Teams. One major benefit is the ability to create accounts anonymously without needing to link them to a phone number. For Android users, there's even an option to pay for the app using Bitcoin. Personally, I miss the disappearing messages feature in Threema. Although they argue that the security of these messages is questionable due to possible traces found in operating system logs, manually deleting messages can be quite inconvenient. In recent versions, Threema allows users to delete and edit messages manually. While Threema offers a global setting for auto-deleting messages, group operators cannot enforce this feature. So it's more about storage maintenance for individual users rather than serving as a security measure. Group support in Threema is also at a relatively low level. The person who creates the group becomes its sole administrator. All members must be added manually. For instance, linking to a group isn't possible like it is with Signal. Additionally, specifying who can post in the group cannot be done. Threema holds a significant position among encrypted communication platforms, particularly within corporate settings and in the European Union due to GDPR compliance. Session began as an endeavor to create a decentralized version of the Signal Messenger, even mimicking its appearance. The unique aspect lies in key management, similar to what we see in cryptocurrencies. A person can back up their identity by noting down 12 English words, referred to as a seed phrase. User identifiers consist of random strings that represent public keys. Consequently, there is no authentication process for users. If you're able to write to someone and possess the correct address, it's assured that no one has provided incorrect keys. The downside is that there's no way to write to someone without knowing their session identifier. You have to exchange that through another channel. Unlike Threema, there's no way to assign a phone number either. The advantage is the possibility of in-person contact exchange with a QR code, which, for example, Signal does not allow. Session promised Tor, like anonymization from the start, but for a long time it was just a promise. The protocol has changed over time and doesn't use the same encryption as Signal. Session thus lost perfect forward secrecy and plausible deniability. At the time of this writing, Session is finally getting better, and in some circles where anonymity is important, it's a messenger of choice. It also lacks advanced capabilities such as conference calls or group video calls, but you can send media, voice messages, write in groups or do one-on-one voice and video calls in beta. It also has the advantage of a high-quality desktop app that syncs with the mobile app. Simple XChat is the newest app in this comparison. It emphasizes privacy and guards against metadata collection. What sets it apart is its lack of user identifiers and reliance on QR codes or URLs for establishing asymmetric connections between users, making message correlation difficult. In incognito mode, tracking a single user across various group memberships becomes impossible. Simple XChat does not use centralized servers for communication, allowing each direction of communication to pass through different relays. As for the interface and stability, it's evident that the app is still being developed. Nevertheless, most features function properly, including basic audio and video calls. However, during a video call, for instance, the sound did not come from the phone's speaker for video calls, necessitating the use of headphones. Simple X is an interesting solution for people who prefer anonymity, don't want to register on servers and the like. However, for communication with family or within a business, Simple X will have to wait. For example, the desktop app exists, but the connection requires pairing with a mobile device each time and you need to be on the same Wi-Fi network without AP isolation. But if you don't want to give someone a permanent identifier, but just need to agree on something, it's a good option. Status, app, status. App is a combination of an encrypted messenger with a Web3 wallet and a decentralized application browser. The wallet, or one of your wallets, is also your identity on the network. Despite the strong integration to the Web3/Ethereum ecosystem, you can use it for free and without having any cryptocurrency, purely for communication. In the background is the decentralized Woku protocol, whose nodes are operated by the community. In case you possess cryptocurrencies, you have the option to buy an identifier, such as a name. With the latest version of Status, users can create communities where membership may be dependent on owning a token. Soon, these communities will also have the ability to vote or co-sign cryptocurrency transactions. As a result, Status aims to evolve into more of a decentralized Discord, like SuperApp. For communities, rather than just being a basic messenger, for enhanced security, Status provides a hardware wallet that serves the purpose of signing transactions. However, this particular wall, it is not as advanced as others like Trezor or Ledger, in my opinion, since it lacks a display. Instead, you sign by placing an NFC card near your device, without actually knowing what you're signing. They are currently working on Keycard Pro, which will be a complete hardware wallet with a display for the keycard. Additionally, Status functions on desktop devices and allows users to access decentralized loans or utilize other apps from the DeFi ecosystem. Its performance as an encrypted communication tool is good and very user-friendly. The downside lies in identity management, which functions similarly to Session. You can purchase a unique name that will be exclusively yours. When it comes to integrating cryptocurrencies, Status has an advantage over Signal, which only supports the relatively unpopular mobile coin currency. On the other hand, the privacy of payments on the Ethereum network and its layer 2s is likely worse than any other cryptocurrency, resulting in transparent transactions despite encrypted messages. Nevertheless, I am personally excited about the community and token support Status offers, as well as keeping an eye on its ongoing development. Side, ban/nomad/nit/reticulum. Another captivating technology involves mesh networking. Meshtastic enables communication using the low RA protocol, which operates slowly but covers longer distances. By default, communication is unencrypted and necessitates specific hardware. An example of a proprietary solution is the well-known GoTenny project. To me, the most interesting open-source solution that works also over low RA and supports encryption is the Reticulum protocol and the NomadNit and Sideband messengers. NomadNit has a text interface, while Sideband works on most platforms with a graphical user interface. You can communicate over local Wi-Fi without configuration. Through servers, you can run your own server, and also just over the low RA network mentioned above. With this stack, you can create a connection even over longer distances, which is slow but works even without internet. The Reticulum network protocol that powers these communication tools always finds a path that works if it exists. The packets are encrypted by default. It also allows storing messages on propagation nodes if there is no direct connection. I use this protocol, for example, to monitor systems. Keet is part of the Hole Punch a Pairs projects. The focus is on true peer-to-peer communication without any servers involved. Hole Punch allows for the creation of a direct peer-to-peer network between individual users' computers, even if they are located behind home networks and routers. This means that video calls or file transfers do not have to pass through third parties, resulting in faster connections. Keet is still in its early stages of development, primarily supporting rooms rather than one-on-one communication. Additionally, its encryption scheme has yet to be thoroughly documented. Despite this, it's noteworthy for focusing on peer-to-peer communication and providing a framework to develop various tools, such as the functional port tunneling program called Wholesale or the remote desktop control tool named PeerViewer. Currently, the software is not completely open source. According to its creators, they are attempting to prevent unauthorized copying and release with crypto tokens by third parties. If security is our goal, free and open source is an important aspect, but I believe this problem will be solved soon. Now let's talk about Nostr and Nostr-based apps. Nostr is an interesting protocol for social networking. The advantage here is that you own your identity, including your social graph, which refers to who you follow. This allows you to use one identity across different applications. Probably the most well-known example is a classic social network similar to Twitter, but there are many other apps available. Once you have your friends on this social network, it's great if you can write to them right away without having to search for any of their other identifiers. You can do this with direct messages on Nostr, but their privacy is very poor. The 0xChat or KeyChat projects are trying to address this problem. 0xChat is compatible with the NIP17 standard, which makes it work well with platforms like Coracle and Amethyst, for instance. KeyChat is unfortunately not compatible, and for using Nostr as an encrypted messenger, it's best to wait and see which standard wins. But you can at least follow me on the social network, other encrypted communicators. Many listeners might immediately tell me that I haven't mentioned their favorite encrypted communicator. It could be WickerMe, Wire, Keybase, or many other tools. The reason is that I don't find them very interesting or widespread. Keybase addresses identity in an interesting way by using cryptographic authentication of your social networks. You can create a way for someone to contact you securely without knowing you beforehand. Interestingly, it also includes encrypted cloud file storage, quote, encrypted Dropbox, end quote. On the other hand, after the creator of Keybase was bought by Zoom in an attempt to repair its not-so-good reputation regarding security, I feel that development has slowed down considerably. Wire also has a bad reputation for me. For years, it pretended to be a super secure encrypted communicator, but forgot to tell users that it doesn't encrypt video calls end-to-end. I think they've fixed that mistake, but given the pretty good options we have now, I don't need to forgive them for that oversight. Another interesting area is communicators that don't require internet access. They form an ad hoc mesh network where individual devices connect to each other and somehow forward messages among themselves. In theory, this could work by sending a message to a friend in another part of town. The neighbor has his mobile phone with him, and his communicator stores the ideally encrypted message until he comes across someone who can forward it to my friend. He goes shopping, then the message gets forwarded to someone else living a short distance from my friend, and so it gets delivered to them. People and their movements create a network without a fixed structure that works even in the event of various disasters and internet outages. One such communicator, for example, is the Android app Briar. Unfortunately, they do not support Apple's iOS platform. Briar works over the internet through the Tor network, but also via Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. So you can, for instance, chat with your friends on a plane, even if you're not sitting next to each other. I hope you never need other instances of such communication otherwise. However, an alternative solution to the problem of internet unavailability is a local network built on internet protocols. Local area networks are not new, and running a Matrix server for Element or an email server for Delta Chat is easy and practical. Conclusion: for me, Signal, Element, or Threema are the winners. Signal and Threema are preferred for their network effect, while Threema offers anonymous accounts, and Element stands out due to its distributed architecture and numerous integrations. Status and Roman 20 Messenger may also be used in specific situations. However, it's crucial to avoid certain communication platforms that either lack end-to-end encryption or actively exploit user data collection. When possible, I try not to use Telegram, WhatsApp, or Facebook Messenger. Unfortunately, this isn't always feasible, especially when dealing with Latin America, where WhatsApp is essential for communication. Many crypto and software projects rely on Telegram for discussions and technical support, while organizing a high school reunion is often done through Facebook Messenger. In these cases, I might seem like an intolerant minority, the person who insists on using secure tools even if it inconveniences others. Oh, by the way, I rarely answer regular GSM phone calls as well. I communicate with all the people I want to communicate with via encrypted calls, mostly using Signal or Threema. For more content like this, check out my book titled Cryptocurrencies: Hack Your Way to a Better Life. It's a guide for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency enthusiasts. In it, you'll learn how to use the Lightning Network, accept cryptocurrencies, discover opportunities for various professions, handle different market situations, and utilize crypto to enhance your life. You can purchase it from my eShop using BTC, BTC, XMR, or even old-school plastic cards. Alternatively, find it on Amazon.
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for any possible quirks generated by the large language model or text-to-speech engine, but I think it is worth transferring these blogs into audio form for people who can't or don't have time to read. So I hope it was useful to you, and I would really appreciate if you used Value for Value podcasting apps to listen to this episode and stream me some sets or Boost. I read all the comments on the Boosts as well. So if you have any comment about this content, feel free to use Fountain.fm or any other app and boost this podcast. Thank you very much.